On your way to work tomorrow, you decide you're going to change lanes, and accidentally you cut off a person who is coming up beside you. You didn't see them in your rearview mirror, and they honk at you as they slam on their brakes, and you realize what you've done, and then you begin to think, I do not want to face this person that's pulling up next to me. So if you're like me, you stop a little short of the stoplight, but then you realize that that person has stopped right next to you, and they have put their window down, and they are glaring at you, and they are giving you a piece of their mind. Thankfully, though, you have learned some street smarts, like comes from Proverbs 15:1 that says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so you roll your window down and you say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I hope you're okay. Or maybe you're the one that gets cut off. Someone makes some kind of insensitive or cruel comment about you, and your first instinct is just to light into them and strike back. But thankfully, you have some street smarts that have come from Proverbs 19:11 that says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. You've learned that there are two people in your office who are having a disagreement, and your first instinct is to jump right in the middle of it and to get involved. But thankfully, you have some street smarts found in Proverbs 26:17 that says, like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. You're scrolling down through your favorite internet news site, and you come across a news story with some suggestive photographs, and you're tempted and enticed to click here, but you don't, because you have some street smarts found in Proverbs 4:25 that says, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. I want to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, it's found just after Psalms, toward the middle of your Bible, just after Psalms. And I'm beginning a new series of messages today entitled Street Smarts, God's Wisdom from the book of Proverbs. You know, we desperately need the wisdom of God for life in the streets, life out there where we live every day, at home, at work, on a date, filling out your income taxes, raising your kids. Oh, how we need the wisdom of God. And thankfully, the wisdom of God is found for us in the streets where we live our lives. Proverbs 1:20-21 says that wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the end or head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Now, one of the ways that wisdom cries out is from the Word of God, and most pointedly from the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is a part of that section of our Bible known as wisdom literature. We will read Proverbs sometimes along with Job and Ecclesiastes and some of the Psalms to gain wisdom. It's a kind of literature found in the Bible. Now, we're not exactly sure the purpose of the book of Proverbs, but it may well be that King Solomon collected these proverbs, many of which he wrote himself, and some of them were written by other wise people, as we're going to see as we go through this study over the next 10 or 11 weeks. And Solomon collected these to serve as a kind of curriculum for a school of training for the next generation of young leaders who would take their place in his royal administration. And so what we find here are a collection. And in this case, the Proverbs are indispensable wisdom that need to be taught to our children and to our young people. And they need to be modeled by all of the rest of us. as we raise up the next generation of leaders for our churches and our nation and our businesses. Now, let's read Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, if you just jump right in and start reading Proverbs, you might be tempted to think that this is just a collection of some sayings that have been thrown together. There doesn't seem to be any discernible order or outline to it, but that's not true. In fact, what we have here in Proverbs chapter 1 is an invitation from Solomon for us to orient our lives around the wisdom that is found in the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to learn today what will help us understand better how the book is organized later. So I want us to get started this morning by just letting these verses whet our appetite for God's wisdom. The first thing we see here in these verses are the virtues of wisdom. The virtues of wisdom. Now, we have some students who are graduating here in a few months, and no doubt they're already receiving information from colleges and schools and universities, and maybe you've gotten brochures or booklets or whatever that are trying to entice you to come to this particular school or that particular school. And that's what Solomon is doing here. He is calling on us and inviting us to enroll in the school of God's wisdom. And so what he does here in these first verses is he's just sort of teasing us into the school of wisdom. Now, let's just look at the verses here, because what happens is he stacks virtue upon virtue in this effort to encourage us to enroll in the school of God's wisdom. If you have your Bibles there and like to write in your Bible, you might want to just circle these words. I'm reading, as typically I do, from the New International Version, so that the words may be a little different in the translation that you are using, but let's just look at it. It says in verse 1 that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, Proverbs, I love what someone has said about it. Proverbs are short sayings from a long experience. I like that. Short sayings that come from long experience. And that's very true. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. And he says that it's for attaining wisdom. Now, wisdom is a very broad term that you're going to see all the way through the book of Proverbs. And it simply means the art of skillful living under the guidance of God. That's what wisdom is. It's the art of skillful living under the guidance of God. But then he talks about discipline there in verse 2. Discipline reminds us that learning wisdom oftentimes involves the painful process of correction and discipline. That we learn sometimes from the school of hard knocks, don't we? We learn as much from our failures as we do from our successes. Discipline. And then he talks about understanding. Do you see that word there? For understanding words of insight. This is the ability to look at the heart of a matter and to discern the choices that have to be made in light of that. In verse 3, he says that this wisdom is for acquiring a disciplined life, a skilled life. This is the ability to apply the truth of God's word, the wisdom of God, and then the success that results from that. But also wisdom leads to a prudent life. What a prudent life. And a prudent life is the ability to live in a way that is right and just and fair. You see that? It's the ability to live in a way that is right and just and fair. And of course, all of those are virtues that our Lord Jesus taught us to pursue in life. He goes on to say in verse 4 that, again, these are for giving prudence. Now, The word prudence in verse 4 is different in the Hebrew from the word that's found in verse 3, but essentially it means the same thing. It also yields knowledge. Knowledge is knowing and doing what God requires. That's what knowledge is. It is knowing and doing it, doing what God requires. Now, discretion is an interesting word. It has the idea of being able to observe two paths and to discern, to discover which one is God's right path. And oh, how we need, because we're faced with decisions all the time, oh, how we need discretion. Now, there's a challenge in verse 5. And verse 5 says, then let the wise listen and add to their learning. By learning, we grasp and we comprehend what is true and what is right. And we do it well enough that we can not only put it into practice in our own lives, but also to teach others. That's all wrapped up in this word learning. And then discerning people also have a quest and a hunger for guidance that helps us to see the dangers that are down the road and to order our lives and to direct the course of our lives to avoid those dangers. And so verse 6 says, these are for understanding Proverbs. This wisdom allows us to understand Proverbs, parables, sayings, and riddles of the wise. And so there are different ways that wisdom is communicated to us. Now, this is an important thing for us to understand, that wisdom doesn't come automatically loaded into our lives when we are born. Now, just stop to think about how simple things might be if God just, we were born wise, but we're not. What happens is that that wisdom has to be downloaded into our lives. It doesn't come automatically installed. It has to be downloaded into our lives by the wise teaching of parents and other leaders in our lives. Now, remember that these teachers were not training these young people to give the right answer for a game show like Jeopardy. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose was to raise up the next generation of young leaders who would be able to take their place and lead effectively and wisely. And that should be our aim as well. So these are the virtues that Solomon gives to us of a life of wisdom. But the next thing we see is that there are voices of wisdom out there. There are voices of wisdom. You know, in Solomon's day, like in our day, there are wise people from all over the world. We read in the scriptures in the Old Testament how Solomon would entertain people from different nations, different countries, and they would come and they would sort of try to outwit each other with their wisdom. And so even to this day, there are people that have a sense of what is right and what is wise, even if they're not believers. But let me just say carefully here that wisdom of the world is an incomplete wisdom. There are people that have some horse sense, if you will, some common sense. But the wisdom of the world is incomplete wisdom. And that's why Solomon comes to say in verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, this is an important theme that we'll find running all the way through the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. He says it a little differently in Proverbs 9:10, where it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when it talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge, what he's saying there is that the fear of the Lord is the commencement of knowledge. That is where it all starts. And it's the culmination. It's the completion of knowledge. It's where it all ends. It starts and it ends with God. And people are foolish if they despise God and the wisdom that only he gives. Now, what I want to do over this course of the next 10 or 11 weeks is I want us to memorize a proverb. Proverbs 2, verse 6. By the way, it occurs to me sometimes that we may get a little confused about, is it Proverb 2, 6 or Proverbs 2, 6? It's Proverbs, properly Proverbs, named after the book Proverbs 2, 6. Now, that's to be distinguished from Psalms. Now, we call it the book of Psalms, but Psalm 1 is to be preferred over Psalms 1. I know that's a little confusing to us sometimes, but these are Proverbs. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. I want us to read it together, and I want to challenge you to memorize Proverbs 2, 6, you and your family perhaps, your children, over the next 10 or 11 weeks. Let's say it together. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2, 6. Let's say it again. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. So the Lord gives wisdom. It's a wonderful truth, because true wisdom is the very mind of God. If you want to put it in these terms, wisdom is what God thinks 24/7. Now, most of us, we might have a wise thought once or twice during the day. Most of our thinking is not so. But with God, wisdom is just the mind of God. It's what he thinks all the time. Now, we learn also a little later in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 8, verses 22 and 23, wisdom is speaking here. Wisdom says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. And so God spoke the universe into existence by his very word. Just his thought, just his wisdom. And so what we have in the universe is embedded the wisdom of God. So that invites us then to explore and to discover things in the universe, because we learn what is wise and true by observing the universe. But God then most supremely and most sublimely revealed himself in the personal word, his son, Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says that the word, the logos, the wisdom of God, if you will, became flesh and dwelled among us. What that's saying is that wisdom is perfectly embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Perfectly embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. It's embedded in the universe, perfectly embodied in Christ. In New Testament times, the Greeks loved wisdom. And Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 1:24, he said, to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, back to Proverbs 1:7. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? What does that mean? Well, if you can just jot this down in your notes there. The fear of the Lord is awe that leads to action. It's awe that leads to action. The fear of the Lord is to have this holy awe of him, to respect him and so revere him and honor him that we dare not approach him in an inappropriate way. It's sort of like electricity. I have an awe of electricity. I appreciate it. I admire what it is able to accomplish, but I dare not approach it in an inappropriate way, or I'll be fried. The same thing with God. We understand how good and great and awesome God is, and we are moved to awe, and we have that sense of fear. Not if we know Jesus, not that we are cowering from him, but we have this awe in our heart for who he is. But that's more than that. It's more than awe. It's awe that leads to action, to where we are eager to receive the wisdom of God's and order our lives around that wisdom. In fact, Jesus, in this great Sermon on the Mount, teaches about the wise man who hears the teachings of Jesus and puts them into practice. He is like a man, Jesus said, who built his house on a solid rock, solid foundation. And the foolish man doesn't do that. Now, Here is where we oftentimes get into trouble. Because the fact is that all of us are born turned toward foolishness and folly, sin. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And so, yes, we need parents to teach and discipline us as children to be wise. But the fact is that that doesn't change our hearts that are bound up in foolishness. We are born in sin. All of us are. And so there has to be a change that comes in our hearts. And that happens to us when we're born again. See, we're born with the tendency to rebel against God. It starts off, we begin to see that even as little babies, we demonstrate that selfishness. But then we become accountable for our sin, accountable for our foolish living, when we choose that course in disobedience to God. And that's where the gospel comes in. That's where we need Jesus. You cannot read the Proverbs and say, I'm going to make that my goal. I'm going to accomplish that. No, you can't do it apart from the change that Jesus makes in our heart when we put our trust in him. And then Christ becomes our wisdom. And so the Lord dispenses wisdom, first of all, through his word, but also through the people that he places in our lives, like parents. That's why Solomon says in verse 8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So parents, we have to be obsessed with helping our children download this wisdom that is from God, that is to take its place in our lives. Why? Because everywhere they turn, they are going to be faced and hear the voices of foolishness. Everywhere they turn, they're going to be bad influences in their lives. And I just have to say that one of the loudest voices of foolishness that surrounds us all comes from the media. Whether it's social media, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, we have to be careful that foolishness can enter into our lives through the voices of foolishness. And so we need to caution our children, warn our children about listening to foolish voices that come from sinful sources. And that's so important. And so we learn to ask questions, don't we? What are you watching? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? What time will you be home? And here's a big one. Who else will be there? Wise parents know how to ask questions that help their children understand that there are voices of foolishness out there. And so that's why wise parents are able to say in Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Do not listen to their voices." So there are the virtues of wisdom and the voices of wisdom, but then also we see that there's great value to wisdom. The great value of wisdom. Wisdom is valuable. Verse 9, Proverbs 1:9 says, "They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." And so the wisdom of God gives a certain beauty and attractiveness to our lives. Solomon says it will be like a flowery crown upon your head. It's beautiful. Like a beautiful necklace around your neck. There's a certain beauty and attractiveness that comes from the life of wisdom. And so the payoff when you order your life around the wisdom of God is huge. And the consequences of ordering your life around foolishness is also huge. Now this week and every week in the series, I want to wrap up each message with just some street smarts for this week. Some street smarts for this week. And here they are if you want to jot them down. First of all, become a disciple of wisdom. Become a disciple of wisdom. Enroll in the school of God's wisdom. So Proverbs are for learners, they're for apprentices, they're for followers, they're for disciples of wisdom. And of course, we know that that wisdom is perfectly embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as living as a disciple of Jesus, you're living in the way of wisdom. So I want to challenge you to do that. And it's a lifelong quest to be in the school of wisdom. Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." You never learn it all. Listen and learn. Let the discerning get guidance. Even if you are discerning, you can always gain more guidance. Read God's word. You want to start? Read a chapter of Proverbs every day, and it'll allow you to read it on the average once a month. You'll read it 12 times in a year. Some of you are doing that. Read God's word in a quest for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, what? You ask God for it, and he gives it generously. So become a disciple of wisdom. Second, hang out with wise people. Just hang out with wise people. Find a wise mentor. Proverbs 13:20 says that he who walks with the wise grows wise. Don't hang around foolish people. Walk with the wise. And then next, identify the pockets of foolishness in your life. Identify the pockets of foolishness. Have you allowed yourself to be swallowed up in financial debt? Have you become lazy? Do you have an uncontrolled temper? Those are pockets of foolishness that we all need to identify, and all of us can look back on our lives and recognize those seasons of foolishness when we made wrong decisions, and maybe to this day you're still living with the consequences of those foolish choices. But understand, friends, that again, this is where the gospel comes in. That this is why Jesus came and lived and died for us, so that we could be cleansed, forgiven our sin, and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And then God's strength comes to live within us, to keep us on the wise path. And that leads me to the last thing, and that is, pursue the only wise one, Jesus. Pursue the only wise one, Jesus. The wisest thing that you can do in life is to commit your life to Jesus Christ. He is the source of the wisdom that we need. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It's all found in him. And the wisest thing you can do in life is to put your trust in Jesus Christ for the gift of eternal life. Then his Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and he brings with him the wisdom of God that will guide and guard your steps throughout life. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the wisdom that is found in your word. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to be able just to enroll over the next several weeks in the school of wisdom, your wisdom, and learn to live our lives, not just knowing and hearing the truth, but putting it into practice, and so becoming wise followers of Jesus. So Lord, now I pray that as we respond to your word, that there will be a freedom here in this room for those who have never put their trust in Jesus to come to Christ today. For those, Lord, who've realized that they've been living a foolish life and they need to repent and turn to you in a time of meaningful recommitment. Maybe they're involved in a relationship that's not wise, on a course that's not wise, and that, Lord, you will awaken them, that they will turn back to you. So, Lord, may this moment be a time of responding to the holy word of God in Jesus' name.